Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Cook the Tech Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. It is World Wednesday. Yeah, winning mindset, winning Wednesday. And super excited because Alinda is with us this morning also. And just a big shout out to the world, to our listeners here in the States and abroad. We hear so much about popular vote and Electoral College when it's election time. So we decided to talk about the Electoral College, what it is, how it was created, what is an elector. Because I've shared many articles also on social media this morning, and Cousin Linda, she began on yesterday sharing information regarding the Electoral College and the Electoral College versus popular vote and electors also. So we're going to get into talking about that, the Electoral College, what is exactly the Electoral College. And many of you might know a lot more than what we've researched and what we've experienced being political enthusiasts. So definitely call in to talk with us regarding the electoral vote and what are the electors. And also something that we talk about often too is the importance of voting. It's been a big story here in Mississippi through our press that it is predicted based on the absentee vote that we're going to have a low turnout next Tuesday. 4 years ago, the election season was just super amazing. I was working as a poll manager and canvassing for my favorite politicians, not just with the Republican Party, but with canvassing and promoting for some of my Democratic friends also. Many canvassers have been here in my neighborhood, and I've talked one-on-one with candidates. But what the media is saying is that based on absentee votes, that Tuesday is going to be a low turnout. And we have important elections going on from our governor, lieutenant governor. We have sheriff races. We have lawmaker positions that need to be filled. So it's very important that we have a and it is a primary, but and again, Cousin Linda and I talk about this also, and many others and I talk about this too. Why don't people take primaries more serious? You know, this is primary time, August the 8th, and then November generals. Like always, even when the topic is not anything political, some kind of way we talk about the importance of voting. And Cousin Linda, you know, if you're a new listener or a longtime listener, you know, she was one of those teens on the front lines in the 60s marching with Medgar Evers. So we could have the right to vote. So you all see how so many laws are being reversed. So it is important for us to do our part and vote. And, yes, I have missed opportunities, and I have even had to say it in my mind in past years. I know my late neighbors next door, may they rest in peace. I don't care what. Nothing stopped them from voting. And I remember one time they called me and said, Bethany, we're going to vote. You want to go vote with us? And I think I even was nonchalant, and I never again will ever be nonchalant about missing, about not going to vote. If you can, please do. And being a poll manager too, you can say, oh, I can't vote, I'm too sick. Absentee vote, curbside, and now even if you are paraplegic, we're trained, poll managers and workers are trained to help if you just need to, if you can only move your mouth. So that nobody, and I'm being serious, I'm not making any fun of anybody. I'm just saying we're taught to help any and everybody that's breathing to vote. I've heard stories of people on their last breath, they made sure they voted before they went to join God. So I didn't mean to stand on my soapbox, but it just touched me to know that we're going to have a low turnout. If there was like a small special election, and even special elections should have, good turnouts. But if there was we have like many, many politicians vying for certain seats, and I don't know, maybe because Linda can explain why we have low turnout, not just here in Mississippi, but across the country dealing with state elections and local government elections. We're in presidential election season, campaign season, so we're in season, so that's what we're talking about, the Electoral College and what are electors and hot topics. So thank you all for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Report, and definitely feel free to call in and chat with us and chat in the chat room. Linda is not only a soldier from the civil rights movement, but she also is an educator. And I know she's going to break down electors and electoral college. And I'm vibing Cousin Linda might break down what happened in 2016 and what happened in 2020. Hillary Clinton had the popular vote. Trump had the electoral vote. Biden won. He won both. He won the popular vote and he won the electoral vote. Some people, and I know, since a little girl, I have always tried to figure out, well, a vote is a vote. If you got the most number of votes, why don't a president win? But the electoral college are the decision makers. The electoral college is the decision maker. So I'm just going to go through the basics of what is the electoral college, but the history of when it was created is just amazing in itself. We've been indecisive since the beginning, and because I know Cousin Linda already, she's always getting on me and getting on many of you also, reminding us that certain people were not included in all of that in the first place. So I'm just going to go over the basics, and I am on the National Archives website, and I've shared a lot of info on social media and info that's good also for educators and talking with young people regarding what all this means. I mean, many adults, we're trying to figure out what does all this mean. What is the Electoral College? And I'm going to pass the mic to Cousin Linda and let her teach us and school us. The Electoral College is a process. It's not a place. The Founding Fathers established it in the Constitution in part as a compromise between the election of the president by vote in Congress and election of the president by a popular vote of qualified citizens. What is the process? The Electoral College process consists of the selection of the electors. The meeting of the electors, where they vote for president and vice president, and the counting of the electoral votes by Congress. How many electors are there? How are they distributed among the states? The Electoral College consists of 538 electors. A majority of 207 electoral votes is required to elect the president. Your state has the same number of electors as it does members in its congressional delegation. One for each member in the House of Representatives plus two senators. The District of Columbia is allocated three electors and treated like a state for purposes of the Electoral College under the 23rd Amendment of the Constitution. For this reason, in the following discussion, the word state also refers to the District of Columbia and executive to the state governors and the mayor of the District of Columbia. How are electors chosen? What are their qualifications? How do they decide who to vote for? Each candidate running for president in your state has their own group of electors. The states are generally chosen by the candidate's political party in your state, but state laws vary on how the electors are selected and what their responsibilities are. What happens in the general election? Why should I vote? You know, that's why some of us say, well, if that's the case, why does my vote count? The general election is held every 4 years on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. When you vote for a presidential candidate, you're actually voting for your candidate's preferred electors. Huh? Right. Most states have a winner-take-all system that awards all electors to the presidential candidate who wins the state's popular vote. However, Maine and Nebraska each have a variation for proportional representation. What happens after the general election? After the general election, your state executive prepares a certificate of ascertainment listing the name of all the individuals on the state for each candidate. The certificate of ascertainment also lists the number of votes each individual received and shows which individuals were appointed as your state electors. Certificate of Ascertainment is sent to NARA as part of the official records of the presidential election. The meeting of the electors take place on the first Tuesday after the second Wednesday in December, after the general election. The electors meet in their respective states where they cast their vote for president and vice president on separate ballots. Your state electors' votes are recorded on a certificate of vote, which is prepared at the meeting of the electors. Your state certificate of vote is sent to Congress, where the votes are counted, and to the NARA as part of the official records of the presidential election. Each state's electoral votes are counted in a joint session of Congress on the 6th of January in the year following the meeting of the electors. Members of the House and Senate meet in the House chamber to conduct the official count of electoral votes. The Vice President of the United States, as President of the Senate, presides over the count in a strictly ministerial manner and announces the results of the vote. The President of the Senate then declares which persons, if any, have been elected President and Vice President of the United States. The President-elect takes the oath of office and is sworn in as President of the United States on January 20th in the year following the general election. So, it is a process and it's not a place, because I know some people like to say, well, where the heck is this electoral college? I'm on the archives, on the National Archives website. So, I'm going to share some key dates and then hand the mic to Cousin Linda. Regarding the presidential election for 2024, November the 5th, 2024 is Election Day. The voters in each state choose electors to serve in the Electoral College. By December the 11th, 2024, electors are appointed. The state executive of each state signs a certificate of ascertainment to appoint the electors chosen in the general election. December the 17th, 2024, electors vote. The electors in each state meet to select the president and vice president of the United States. January the 6th, 2025, Congress counts the vote. Congress meets in joint session to count the electoral vote unless Congress passes a law to change the date from a Saturday or Sunday. January the 20th, 2025, Inauguration Day, the president-elect is sworn in as president of the United States. So that is for, you know, the future, but the past years, recent years, and also, you know, 20 and 30 years ago, there has been some, we have had some nights and some weeks and some days awake, haven't we? So I'm just looking at distribution of electoral votes and things like that. But I'm going to go ahead and I just want to go over some basics. But I have shared, and Cousin Linda has shared too, on her Facebook page, and very, very good information. And we both have. So I'm going to pass the mic to her. I just want to go over some basics and basics of what we're dealing with and what dates are special dates with the presidential election for 2024. Again, 2016, 2020, those in itself have been amazing history lessons in learning more about our political process. Hello, Cousin Linda. How are you doing?
Hi, Cousin Bethany and listeners. I guess I'm doing okay. I wanted to take a shower and do all the hygiene things, but when I turned the water on, the pressure was so low I couldn't do anything because somebody in one of the apartments had a water heater to break and they're fixing it.
No.
Yeah, so I'll have to put my hygiene thing on the hold, I guess, for an hour or two more, because that was early this morning. I turned on some water in the bathroom sink, and I wanted to brush my teeth, and I was like, what's up with this? No water pressure. I came to the kitchen sink, same thing, and I know sometimes when they're working on the plumbing, they will turn the water off in certain buildings, and so I had to call because normally they send an email letting us know that the water is off or the pressure is going to be low, but I called them this morning to find out what's going on. So that's just one of my little personal problems right now, but it'll be solved later on, nothing major. And
thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Because, look, we definitely, look, I know some people like to get away without taking showers and baths, but with this weather, we have to take like two, three baths or showers dealing with this weather.
Yeah, I guess that's a topic for another day. But I think you did a good job of explaining about the Electoral College. There's not much I can add to it, but I'm on this website, Information Station, and it says, what is the Electoral College? And you have already given that meaning. So I'll just scroll down here. It says, the reason for the founding or creation of the Electoral College was that it might seem unnecessary or complicated, which in my opinion is extremely complicated. It ensures that every state has a meaningful voice in the electoral process. It seems to me that if you just took one person, or like they used to say, one man, one vote, but one person, one vote, and counted all the votes, to me, that would be of the people, by the people, and for the people. But they have an electoral college. And I don't know. It's just extremely confusing to me. It says, when voters cast their ballots for president of the United States, they aren't necessarily voting for that person directly, which seems weird. Instead, they're casting votes for presidential electors, collectively known as the Electoral College. The elector then votes for the same candidate on their behalf. So why do we need an elector to vote for the candidate on our behalf when we've already voted? This is just really, really confusing to me. All I know is that we have the Electoral College. It's kind of like they're standing in lieu of our votes. So I don't know. I can't explain it. I can read it all day. I can watch videos on YouTube all day. But I guess more so than saying I don't understand it, I'm just thinking that it's not necessary. And I mean, and the votes are counted, like District 17 is reporting all of their votes, and they have in that district 37,000 votes for Joe Biden and one vote for Donald Trump. So why does this need to go to the electors to do what we've already done? I'm not clear on it. And the first time this came to my attention was when I was in the seventh grade, which I've mentioned, our civics class. And our teacher was saying they need to do away with that electoral college. We didn't have a clue. You know, he used to talk all over our heads as though we understood. I don't know if he had to have known that we had just come from elementary school, the sixth grade, and then were thrown into the civics class. I didn't even know what civics was. But I'll never forget, he did say they need to do away with that electoral college. And I agree wholeheartedly, because it is a ball of confusion, as the Temptations would say.
Right, and I see where many people, and I often hear that many people say it needs to be just abolished, just rid of. And through my research, I'm looking at James Madison that was like, it was his brainchild, and then he and James Wilson had like a debate, And James Wilson decided, well, we needed to, I'm not looking, I'm remembering, but I did share it on my social media. I'm looking at the history of it. But then I, then James Wilson decided that, oh, suggested that, oh, what you always say, Cousin Linda, that a certain class of people need to have a say. White men in a certain type of tax base, I guess, they needed to have a say. And that's what they say in this history that I have been researching, and I shared on my social media. I sent it to you also. Mm-hmm. They had it in black and white, that white men with certain, I guess, properties, a certain tax base, they had to have a say.
Yeah, the
so I guess that's what that, I guess electors were at the beginning were what you always school us on. That was like the real reason.
Yeah, like white slave owners in the South had a lot
right.
to do with that. You know, your wealth is, I guess, explained by the number of slaves that you have, or, you know, it's determined, rather, by the number of slaves that you have. And it was just weird for me going back reading all that, because I never knew how it came about, and I really wasn't that interested until you brought it up.
Wow.
I just don't see the necessity in having, I mean, why don't we have an electoral college for governors and mayors and all these other offices? Why is it just the president of the United States?
And I'm like most of us, I thought when you whoever gets the most votes, that's who wins, right? Like electoral college.
Yeah, because I mean you have
electoral
the
college got my attention with Al Gore, with the Al Gore race. Electoral college got my attention then. Like what?
And then recounting the votes when it was a farce, this business about hanging chads and pregnant chads, and that was determined subjectively as opposed to objectively, because this pregnant chad, I'm going to go ahead and say this is for Bush, and this hanging chad, I'm going to say this vote was for Bush. And we know that election was stolen, but as Democrats, we accepted it. Okay, we lost this election, they say.
But even as a Republican who voted for Bush, I'm like, my mouth dropped. Like, what is really going on? And it doesn't seem, you know, it just doesn't seem. We won't think, we look at America being fair, but like you were saying, it wasn't even created on fairness. So my mouth dropped. Everybody's mouth dropped. People that could care less about politics were like, what? What is really going on?
Yeah, and now because Donald Trump failed to concede or say that he actually lost the election, you see all of this money, all these taxpayer dollars being wasted on having trials for him. It takes money to indict a criminal or someone accused of criminal activity. You know,
that's
this
a good
doesn't
point.
Just. And I mean, to me, it's just wasting money that could be put to better use. Our schools could use the money. And I was listening the other day on the
getting
radio
a homeless
about
the street. Getting a homeless on the street.
That and children in public schools don't have money to pay for lunches. Number one,
right.
and I'm being mean, but I'm just saying the lunches that I have seen a lot of times aren't fit to eat. And some of the children have shown that they put it on how old and molded the food is, how non-nutritious it is. And it's a crying shame that they're talking about children who don't have the money to buy lunch. Well, look at the parents who do have the money. Children are getting and stuff that's not fit to eat, and all this stuff about, well, we don't serve hot cafeteria because the children won't eat it. How do you know? I mean, I've seen them throw away hot dogs, hamburgers, so-called pizza, give them the opportunity to throw away a salad, some baked chicken, or some meatloaf, or something that's nutritious. But give them a choice. Don't just pile them up on junk food.
Exactly. And school lunches, America, well, I know schools here in Jackson Public Schools, they have the best lunches and breakfasts, and people just don't understand. Some children, that's the only food, that's the only nutritious food they get. They might have hard-working parents, but their parents might be at work, might be working evening times and late night, or go to work before they go to school. Some children, that's the best, that's all the food that they get. Also, you'd be surprised, even wealthy kids, because parents can't make kids eat at home. And so we can't even say, oh, just poor kids. Kids of all backgrounds, sometimes that's the only healthy food they get, healthy, nutritious food. And you're right, again, if it's not healthy, in the school systems, what are we doing? We're
raising a bunch of obese children who have no real nutrients in their diet because everything is processed and fast food. But like I said, I've seen some of the meals in some of the schools, and I wouldn't have wanted to eat that either. I may have been forced to eat it if I was starving to death. But I've seen children just stuff in the garbage. Now, they would always throw in a little apple or an orange or something. Some kids would throw that away, and some kids would eat it. But this so-called hot dog, hamburger, taco stuff, now, to me, that was a disgrace, and your parents are having to pay for that. I know we could do better.
Right. And, And I seen a story recently in the past few months. I don't know if it was Good Morning America or one of the news shows. This young boy, I think maybe like in Arizona or somewhere, he did not like how the macaroni and cheese was being served. I think he contacted the superintendent of schools, and he wrote a lengthy letter regarding that the food need to be approved, especially the macaroni and cheese. And now they serve like the best macaroni and cheese. But he wrote that letter to like the superintendent, and he met with the cafeteria managers in the school, and he checked out what the young man was expressing about the food, especially the macaroni and cheese, and they corrected it. Now the macaroni and cheese is like a restaurant caliber. And I need to Google that and send that story to you. You might have heard of that story, but that was just amazing. No. Kids have to speak out about that.
Yeah, well, if it were up to me, I wouldn't serve macaroni and cheese because I don't consider that to be a nutritious food item. It got better. I mean, it could be Kraft macaroni and cheese, and I'm just going to call that brand out because I think it's about the most popular.
It's the best.
And it's not really cheese. And why, Americans are just really hung up on this mac and cheese. I think that's a marketing gimmick to sell that product for whatever corporation owns the company. I don't know who owns Kraft.
Right.
But if I had children, I wouldn't let them eat that. And if I prepared it myself,
Kraft is interested, still waiting for my invention idea of reinvention of a product. So big shout out to Kraft. Kraft, I still want that deal. I'll work on that prototype. I agree with you about macaroni and cheese. It's not a healthy choice to have on a food menu, but I think they start, like you said, processed, it's not good, but I think now it's made from scratch. So it's not the healthiest, but now it's made from scratch. So it's healthier than what it was.
Scratch, how do we know that cheese is nutritious? Some diets say you don't include dairy products. So I don't know. I'm more into green stuff. Give them some arugula, some little carrot sticks to snack on, real carrots, not the little processed mini carrots. Tomatoes, cucumbers, celery sticks.
And there are some foods that I sometimes see in the news that they have adopted that, like what we talked about on Monday, eat green, eating greener. Some schools have, but I wonder what's behind those school systems that have adopted the eat greener.
I don't know.
Because you're right. You hear about those schools, but we rarely hear about the schools that you are mentioning, the ones that aren't doing it right.
And I think, you know, they say, well, my child won't eat. Well, if you start them out eating nutritious food, I think they will acquire a taste for that. But for some strange reason, parents like to, in quotes, reward their children for whatever. So we're going to go to McDonald's or we're going to get you Pizza Hut. Your brain starts to crave that kind of food. And children can be just like little spoiled, rotten, pampered pets. I refuse to eat it. But if you leave that food there long enough, that pet's going to eat it when he gets hungry. Children throw tantrums.
Right.
Whatever you can to shut them up. So if it means sticking a lollipop in their mouth, a cone of ice cream, you're not going to tell me that you can't get your children to eat. If you don't start them out on that junk, they will not crave it because studies have shown that there is, I don't know what it is in our brains that craves certain foods, because I know I couldn't stop eating bread.
You know I'm addicted to bread. I can't even have bread in. Right.
Yeah, give me a roll, a croissant or something. And I told you about when I was going to the diet doctor, and I told him, I said, I think something's wrong, Doc. I'm craving this stuff. And he said, yeah, it's your body that starts to crave it. It's not just all in your mind. You crave sugar. And I know we're getting all off the subject, but on this electoral college, back to the electoral college thing, if we could just go ahead and elect our president based on the number of votes like we do other elected offices, we wouldn't have all this confusion. And who in the world would have ever thought that once someone had been declared the winner of the presidential election, that we'd have to go through all these changes with the big lie. They cheated me. He didn't win. And meet me down at the Capitol, and we're going to storm the Capitol. We're going to take the country back. Nobody in the history of this country has ever seen anything like this.
Right. And then with Clinton versus Trump, Hillary was ready to read her speech.
Her acceptance speech.
Won a popular vote.
And
she was ready to read her acceptance speech for winning the election. And they were like, not so fast. You won a popular vote, but you haven't won the electoral. Like, wow, that was crazy.
We have to put emphasis on polls because all the polls were in her favor. I remember seeing, it was John Roberts on CNN several days before the election, who had predicted that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And because he had counted electoral votes. He had counted she's going to get all the electoral votes in this state, that state, and so on. So, it looked like she had just left Donald Trump in the dust. Nobody accurately done the polls or correctly done the polls because Hillary was supposed to have won by a landslide, according to the information that we were given. And we see what happened. So it's the system, if, we were just able to vote directly for the person and not have these electors and the electoral college intervening, to me it would be less confusing. We would know. We wouldn't have to have all this stuff done on January the 6th to confirm that this is the winner.
I think I thought election is on election Tuesday, and we know who's the winner the next day. But now they're telling us we really vote for the electors, and then they do the voting in December. Now you
and
all
you,
tell us, and this was decided how we, this process. Like, what? Now you all tell us this?
Yeah, when, you know, you were saying that people say, well, why should I vote? My vote won't count. Excuse me. Yeah, you start wondering, that there might be something to that. Does my vote really count? And some people have to put a lot of effort to vote. And you do begin to wonder, well, is it worth my time and effort to try to get to the polls and vote before I go to work, try to get to the polls after I leave work, even though you're supposed to be allowed 2 hours off work with certain circumstances to go vote. And the people who are ambulatory, like you were saying, if people are paraplegic or quadriplegic or whatever, they're always, they can.
Exactly. If you're breathing, you can vote. If you're breathing, you can vote.
I remember back in the 70s when Henry Kirksey was running for mayor of Jackson, and passed by Prime High School, and I saw some an ambulance there, and somebody was actually carrying a person out on a stretcher, so, you know, a white person. So I guess they were saying, you know, even though they were bedridden or whatever, they were going to make sure they voted. And I'm not sure because I don't know, but I believe that was done to keep Henry Kirksey from getting elected.
Oh, wow. And they were like on my last breath.
Yes. Yeah.
And you will be the one to see that too. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, my last breath. Wow. Woo.
But I'm not.
So you know what?
I'm
glad we're having this conversation, and this is the beginning, because really, it's showing, and I'm feeling that it's showing you also that what you did back in the early 60s was not in vain. And it's really putting fire under my behind that our votes do count, even when unmasking what's really going on with the Electoral College too, and why it was created. And it's not anything new; it's something that was created back in 1700s. So we need to know what it is, and it's important for a candidate to win both on the top.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly it has something to do with our democracy. It said it was designed to safeguard against undue influence by small groups and to ensure that states with larger populations did not overpower or overshadow states with smaller populations. And that still doesn't ring true, in my opinion. If you have a ballot and you mark off whoever you want, that should be the end of it. I just don't get this, to safeguard against undue influence by small groups and to ensure that states with larger populations did not overpower or overshadow states with smaller populations. That doesn't ring true, because look what happened when Joe Biden won the election. That were true, we wouldn't have all this confusion. There wouldn't have been any way Trump could have disputed the count if we went on the popular vote, because it was obvious Biden had way more.
Well, he won both. Yeah, he won both. He won the electoral,
but
he won the popular. Right.
But, the way Donald Trump was asking people to go back and find him some votes and disputing the electoral votes.
That was crazy right there. Like, wow. And
yeah,
you all heard it for yourself. June the 6th, That's how it is. That's how it's been written since 17, whatever. I think I post a lot of history for everyone to read, and also it's for teachers. It's also a teacher's guide. But it's been written. June the 6th is the day. And the vice president presides over that. That's the date to 1700. January the 6th, that's the day. It's been that way since the 1700s. And the vice president, like Pence, was in there with Congress and with the lawmakers. That's the process. That's been the process since the 1700s. You know, yeah. And to jeopardize your vice president's life, that's crazy too, you know, just speaking of the most recent one.
And Mike Pence still is afraid to speak out against him. But here it says,
exactly.
How do we get these?
And he's lying to run for president. And I've heard some people, even Democrats, say, well, you got to speak up. You got to speak up against it. That was wrong to do you the way you were done on that day.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's something else that might help the listeners a little bit. It says, how did we get the Electoral College? The founding fathers established the Electoral College in the Constitution in part as a compromise between the election of the president by a vote in Congress and the election of the president by a popular vote of qualified citizens. However, the term Electoral College does not appear in the Constitution. Article 11, Constitution, and the 12th Amendment refer to electors, but not to the Electoral College. So see, that to me, that just sounds like a whole lot of mumbo jumbo.
Right.
I just don't get it.
It sounds like they were confused when they were creating that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
James Madison was on some type of track, and then James Wilson was like, well, what? And to me, it was like what you talked about last week. It sounded like special interest for a certain class of humans. And so thank God the electors now, I'm believing that electors represent America, different races, different socioeconomic backgrounds, you know, different occupations, you know. That most that the electors, if we've seen electors of a group photo of electors, they represent. And I will get on the middle of America.
Mm-hmm. Are you there?
If
you
we
are there,
here.
Cousin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, your phone went out a little bit.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I hope I didn't hit my volume. Wait a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear now.
Okay. I hope everyone heard me say that I hope, thank God that today the electors, hopefully, I said, I know I probably would get you on saying this, represent the melting pot of America, electors. If we've seen a group photo of electors, I hope it's representative of what America is, different nationalities, different races, you know, gender, makeup, and socioeconomic and occupations, that is, that most electors is a, you know, if it's a group picture taken of electors, then it definitely represents America.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read a little bit more, you're going to see it's in black and white, which you always tell me and the listener, that it says in black and white, white men of certain, like, tax break or property. But I see what you're saying. In other words, slave owners at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know,
so sound like it was a special interest group built within the system.
Right. Well, cuz, I'm going to go on and leave the show so I can call the prayer line. I have a friend that I give number, and I told her I would call her right before the prayer line and remind her.
Yes. And,
okay.
And we only have about five more minutes, well, like three more minutes of live broadcast, so I will be on the prayer line, too, right after you. And I look forward to praying with you, and I'm going to stay on just a few more minutes so I can provide email info and all that good stuff. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Yes, so thank you all for tuning in for World Wednesday. It has been amazing to talk. And I thought World Wednesday would be good because we have people that vote absentee around the world, and those of you that love America and like to understand our political process, just like we like to understand what's going on with your political process around the world also, I thought World Wednesday would be a good time to talk about it. So the live streaming for the calls are ending too. So Cousin Linda ended her call right on time. You all might have heard a call coming in. That was Pastor Dunn, Jr. CEO, calling. I don't know why he didn't call us on live on the air. So that was him calling. I'm like, I'm live on the air. So I thought he would call in. But definitely send your email to Culture Shock Entertainment, KULTRESHOKENT_Beth@yahoo.com. KULTRESHOKENT_Beth@yahoo.com. Let me repeat, KULTRESHOKENT_Beth@yahoo.com. And if you want to shoot a Cash App, and anything you send definitely will be reinvested into the podcast. $Beth, BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. Thrice, $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. That's the Cash App. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your listenership. Thank you for sending in hot topics. Send in your music to be added to the playlist. Definitely looking forward to hearing your music and also interviewing awesome musicians and artists and singers and so on, and also the return of past guests and new friends of the show. Definitely appreciate you. So remember, you know, rock your vote. Rock your vote. Rock your vote wherever you are, if you have the chance. And I'm talking worldwide. Rock your vote when you have the opportunity and the chance to do so. So I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. And we're not gone yet. I just want to replay that fun song I like to play. And next time you listen to the show, there will be new music added to the playlist. But I just love this song so much. no winner for the Mega Million last night. So who wants to be a billionaire? So, whoa. So we still have a chance, those of us that have ambitions of becoming a billionaire. But there was not a winner last night. So, you know, we definitely will be talking about that. Matter, we definitely will be talking about that. Yes, yes, yes. Tomorrow is Truth Thursday, so we finished with the three-part series regarding America and the World Elite. So it will be good to talk about the do's and don'ts. Then you are a lottery winner. And talk about some of the success stories and also some of the stories where big time lottery winners are now broke. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow and other hot topics on Truth Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, and on Friday at 4, it will be Fun Friday. And a matter of fact, Thursdays we will have a segment called Traveling Thursday, which Cousin Linda came up with that idea. So Traveling Thursday, we will talk about travel ideas, staycation and travel ideas, Travel Thursday. We're going to have a segment called Travel Thursday on True Thursday. So thank you all for your support, your listenership. If you've been listening since March 2011, or if you're a new listener, thank you so much. And let's talk about cooking and recipes and good food also on Friday. Look, we could add a segment for Fun Friday called Food Friday, where we talk about recipes and cooking and favorite restaurants and all that. Okay. Well, I thank you so much for your love, your positive vibes, your listenership, your support. And I am sending you positive vibes. I hope you learned something. I definitely did. I know more than I know now from the beginning of the show. So I'm grateful. Grateful for your love and your support and your listenership again. And I know I like to repeat things a few times, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be kinder to yourself. I'm going to end with that. Let's be kind to ourselves, and let's do unexpected things. Do unexpected things. If it's make that phone call to someone you haven't talked with in a long time, or surprise your loved one, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, surprise them with something, catch them off guard, or a relative or a friend, or give a homeless person a meal, or spend time and talk with someone that you know would love to talk at least for 5 minutes. Or just a smile at a person at a store. Look across the aisle and just give someone a smile. We just don't know what we're all going through, or what each other, or what we're going through. So let's be kinder to ourselves, and let's be kinder to one another. You know, little simple things like that really go a long way. So I'm going to end that in closing. So thank you all, and God bless, and let's spread world peace and spread love. You've been listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Be True. Cousin Linda, thank you also. So I thank you. I really sincerely thank you for your love and your support, and thank you for keeping in touch via social media, in person, social media. Oh, congratulations to my friend, Judge Carlos Moore. He proposed to his lady, and she said yes, so congratulations to them. Also, if you're in the Jackson metropolitan area, I shared this info last Friday, and I told my doctor that I did, he and his Mrs., Queen Healthcare, and, you know, wellness. Dr. Timothy Quinn and his wife, Melissa Quinn, they are hosting an event at North Park, not North Park Center in Dallas, my friends, North Park here in Jackson, Mississippi, in Ridgeland, Mississippi, exactly, at 9 o'clock this morning, Saturday morning, will be a giveaway, a back to school backpack giveaway, and also I think gift cards valued at $25. And also, kids can get free physicals. The sport athlete in your life can get free sports physicals also. So they're teaming up with other with a sports doctor to give kids free sports physicals. So definitely, and you know that every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Is when the participants of the walking program get together. And I have yet attended, but if not this Saturday, I will soon. But this Saturday sounds like a blast. So my birthday being next Friday, it seems like a pretty cool way to celebrate my birthday, too, to go and walk and have fun with my doctor and friends and all of that and make new friends. But I know it would be packed, and I'm just doing my part of spreading the word. So, and I just found out on Instagram, too, there's a soul food festival happening here in Mississippi. I don't know the organizers. I've seen this on Instagram. So I just want to give a shout-out to those that are producing the Mississippi Soul Food Festival in Crystal Springs, Mississippi, on August the 13th, a couple of days after my birthday. That should be really good, a soul food festival. And they're looking for vendors, too. So I just want to give a shout-out. That's not even a paid announcement. But those of you that are interested in sponsoring Country Shock Entertainment Report, please let us know. Really, really appreciate that, and thank you for it. But again, let's be kind to one another. That really can make us win every time, right? Exactly. So thank you, and until tomorrow, and until I see you and talk with you on social media, be good and be blessed. And most importantly, let's be grateful. God bless. His charisma, 11 seconds less than a minute.